The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Good morning. Well, we're trying to finish 1 Thessalonians, and it just seems like the Word just keeps pouring out, you know, that living water to us. And it's the closer we get to the end of chapter 5, the more that God just pours out on us. And I just think that's just the way our Word is. Well, this morning we're going to try to finish the chapter in chapter 5. And so if you'll turn to Philippians 3, and put your finger there, or if you don't have, you know, like the capability of doing this, put a piece of paper there, some kind of something there, and then turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be in both of those areas of Scripture this morning. And so, there, give me a hearty amen. Today, in our final scripture, hopefully, prayerfully, of chapter 5, starting there in verse 11, Paul begins to close his first letter to the Thessalonians, and he does with a series of practical exhortations, those that I can't keep all together, and I'm sure you can't either. But he does close with these exhortations. And what for? Well, I believe it's intended to refine our walk with our Lord, refine our spiritual walk. And so I have a message this morning entitled True Spirituality. True Spirituality. Well, let's read this insightful ending to this first book in Thessalonians. I'll back up a bit. Verse 11 says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are already doing. And that's what this church does. We edify and we teach one another. It's just a wonderful thing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with everyone. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. 16, rejoice always. 17, pray without ceasing. 18, in everything give thanks for what? Because this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. And oh, by the way, don't quench the Spirit, for goodness sakes. Do not despise prophecy or teaching of God's Word. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil, even if you think it's good or it's not evil. Hey, abstain from it. We'll talk about that in a bit. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us and greet all the brethren with a what? With a what? Okay, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren, and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this word. God, thank you, Lord, that you will teach us today if we just allow it. Open up our hearts, Holy Spirit. Discern the scriptures today. Leave us, Lord, with, yes, great conviction that it is soon and very soon that you will return. And so, God, help us to realize that. Help us to hone in on true spirituality, God. It's something that you have given us, not any man. And we thank you for it. Now teach us through your holy scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. By the way, that holy kiss, there's some things called cultural. culture. And so that was in that culture. As you know, the Middle East, everyone kisses everybody. I don't care who they are, it seems like. You know, it's just a thing they do. Here we shake hands, pat each other on the back, give a good hug, you know, Calvary Chapel hug. It's awesome. Well, Paul starts in verses 12 and 13 with, we are to think highly of those who are called to instruct and admonish. And that's what admonish means. It means just to instruct or challenge us in the name of the Lord. Challenge us to a better walk. Instructing us by God's word. Not particularly because of their personalities, TV personalities, but more importantly because of their position that God has given them. In other words, not because of who they are, but because of, number one, the call, if you're taking notes, the call of God in their lives. God has called them to this. There's something here, because let me tell you, as a pastor, man, of 16 years, there's times that if I didn't get the call from God, man, would I be gone? I could do other things. And it's just, no, but I can't. And not that I've wanted to, but it's just the times that it's just you're in the ditches. And look, if you're called to, I don't know, be a bus driver, called to be a teacher, called to be whatever you're called to be, and God has called you to that, and you're doing that, then isn't it hard? I mean, there's times that you go through life, you go, man, I just wish, I don't know, I'd do something else. Because just right now, it's tough. It is tough. You know, I've sat with some people in this audience that have gone through life and have jobs, and I'm telling you, and now they're retired, and they've had the same job all that time, and they've been called to that job, and they were good at that job, and God gave them gifts and talents in that job. And they're like, man, there's times I just wanted to leave it. There's times it got hard, but I didn't leave it because I felt like this is it, man. This is what I want to do, and this is, God's called me to this, and that's how we are. That's what we do. I tell you, if you're not called, if it takes a huge alarm clock to get you out of bed, I'd question your call. See, a call to a job, whether it be pastoring, whether it be digging ditches. If you're called, what gets you out of bed in the morning? Big alarm clock? Or you just hop out of bed because, man, you can't wait to get dressed and get to work. You got the call. You love it. There's another call God has given me. I truly believe a second call. It started out just to supplement my income. The second call is substitute teaching. I love it. I love it. I bounce out of bed. They call me, though, you know, at 8 o'clock, 8:15, and say, can you be here at 8:30? No. You know? But I love it. Man, those kids, you don't know what it's like when you walk in the classroom, maybe the third day, and they go, yes! Pastor Ben's back! And that's what they call me, by the way. PB or Pastor Ben. Some call me Mr. Lawson. It's awesome, man. I have not met a bad kid at that school. Never. Not one of them. He was on a chair trying to get something off something. And his pants was falling down. And I thought his underwear was going to go next. And I'm like, run over there, get down off the chair. You have two options. See, they're scared to death of something called ISS. I think that's it. You heard of ISS? Anybody? Anybody been hanging out? Ooh, you've been hanging out with those guys. Oh, yeah, you just know about them, right? It's like the SS, you know? They're coming to get you. But anyway, the calling. I love that. It's a secondary calling. This is my real calling, and I love it, and I love to teach. I love to love you guys and help you out. Being shepherd over a small flock. And so naturally, I would love those kids. So you're calling. You know, what are you doing? And so, see, I understand that my true calling for those kids, I love them so much because they're so, you know, young. And I know you go, oh, they're not, and they're tender, and they're trying to find their way in life, and they need Jesus. Because I can see on the other side. Man, I can see on the other side. They just need the Lord. And they don't need to come to my church, and they don't need to go to this church, and they don't need to do that. They need Jesus. They need the Lord within them. Then the Holy Spirit does its thing. You know, I mean, I don't, just, you know, tell them, get a Bible. Oh, I already got one. You start reading it. Awesome stuff. I got a call Friday. And I thought, uh-oh. I'm in trouble. And so she said, hi, this is such and such. And I knew her, you know. I said, hey, how you doing? She said, okay. I just want to tell you, I've heard about your invitation to the kids to come down and do a tour through your radio station in the recording studio. I think it's just wonderful. Keep up the good work. And if it's okay, we might have some of our projects come down and do some recording. I said, awesome, man. Wide open here for you. All pro bono, you know. And then she said, I said, is that it? She goes, oh, no, I just want to talk to you about another matter. And so we talked for about 15, 20 minutes. I said, okay, well, keep up the good work, Pastor. Hung up. Thank you, Lord. And so really neat inroads that God gives us. And it's all about our calling. What do we do? See, we all are called to something, but what do we do with it? Do I just sit here and teach from Sunday to Sunday? Or do I want to explode out of the gate like a great greyhound or a thoroughbred horse, Secretariat? Do I want the long road just get faster and faster and greater and greater? Of course, yesterday we had a first ever music video done in our cafe. Had a lot of people here. A lot of different people from other churches and stuff. Awesome stuff, man. We're going to open the cafe back up and do different, you know, venues in there with music. And it's just, you know, we've already scheduled a outreach, a huge outreach with free food. And a lot of different people from other churches are getting involved. But we're going to lead it, and we're going right into the projects in Southern Pines. Right in the middle of the project. And so, you know, what do we do with our calling? You know, yes, we're called to dig ditches, or we're called to be a pharmacist, or we're called, but in that calling that God has given us, do we do something for Him or for, you know, not religion? I told that kid, I hate religion. Religion kills people. Religion hates people. Religion, I love the person. He just couldn't deal with that. But then he finally figured it out. And in the same way with us, you know, we have this calling, this thing that we do that provides for us and this, you know, for our life. But within that calling, God has given us that calling. And so within that calling, what do we do for Him? How do we glorify Him in our jobs, in our callings of life? And, you know, being a teacher, man, I don't know. I think probably I've always been a teacher some way or another, but it just, in that teaching, the whole thing, you know, I was teaching some chemistry, and there were some theorems that came back to my mind, and to tell you the truth, it was like supernatural, because I have never, you know, thought about those theorems before, and I even solved a few problems for the kids, and of course, there's this one, I said, I don't have a clue, you're going to have to ask somebody else, but it was just, you know, what do I do with that validity of Christ, our calling? Man, where did I lose my notes here? Oh, not because of who they are, but because of the calling that we have from God in our lives. And, of course, the valuable work, the Bible said, the valuable work they do for the body of Christ. Now, please notice with me, Paul says nothing about popularity, did it? Nothing about elegant speech or even a doctorate's degree. Although education is very important, education does not give you the calling. The calling gives you the education. Some is by hard knocks, some is at school, some is both. But there's many, many I see in ministry that will go and get a theological doctorates and never have a calling. It's a job. It's just like maybe a doctor, psychiatrist, that just does it for money. They don't have a call. Have you ever been to a doctor's office in your whole life and you walk in and you can tell that doctor don't care much about bedside manner or even you? You know, it's like they just want the buck. Talked to my doctor. He said, I said, are you going to bail out because of this whole healthcare thing that's going on? Are you going to hang in there? Well, he goes, I will always be a doctor because that's my calling.
He's the only doctor I've ever known to come by and give me a house visit with his little black bag. That's awesome, hey? You know, it's a calling to him. It's not a job. It continues to say, esteeming those folks very highly in love. Very highly in love. For what? How hard they work. Now, I believe everyone that labors here at Calvary Chapel, whether, you know, for a meager pay or volunteer, well, they're other-centered. And they're constantly thinking of you, not themselves. They labor for you because they love Jesus and they love you. I can tell you right now, every single... Or I wouldn't have them on staff, whether they're volunteer or not. Now, in verse 14, the four injunctions Paul gives provide a wonderful picture of our study today called true spirituality. He declares first, clearly warn those who behave that their behavior is out of line or unruly with the way of the Lord. Idleness or insubordination. That unruly means being idle, busybodies, stirring up trouble and stuff. You know, just trying to stir up. They're just idle, they're busybodies. Or insubordinate. Insubordinate. One thing that, the only thing that I've told, that I've heard from other Calvary Chapel pastors with big staffs, paid staff, and the only way that you'll get in trouble here as volunteer or paid staff is if you are insubordinate to another pastor or insubordinate to an elder or something. It's just not good. Insubordinate. Not good. You'll get in trouble. And so unruly, meaning not following the rules, right? Unruly. Talk to those people. Second, comfort those who have a hard time understanding the will of the Lord. Support those who are weak in the Lord. And finally, show patience to everyone. Now, check this out. We have shown patience to everyone, I think, in this body. You know, there's people that have come to me and the staff, and they'll go, hey, you know, there's a sinner amongst us. How'd you know I was a sinner? You know, kind of a thing. We're all sinners. You know, oh, they're doing this. We're very patient. Very patient. Give them to God's word, you know. We're not going to kick you out of here because, you know, it's just one thing. I think we're very patient. So, comfort. We comfort those that have a hard time understanding the will of our Lord. We comfort. We do comfort here. It's a very good. And we support. We support the weak in the Lord. We support that. We really do. It's just a wonderful thing. I've seen you ladies. Unbelievable how you support one another and love one another. I've seen you guys. Same kind of thing. Yesterday we had a men's breakfast. It was wonderful, wasn't it, guys? Yeah? I wanted to have some of you come out and talk about it, but we didn't have enough time. But it was wonderful. There, he did a great message and this music. It was just wonderful. Right in the middle of people were looking. The waitresses was kind of doing this kind of thing. It was great. It was a witnessing tool. But we were in there and we were just throwing down church, and it was just a wonderful thing. And we just, you know, it's loving one another, being able to support one another. Those who are weak in the Lord. We had a little confusion there for a little bit. And one of the guys, we lost one of the guys. We didn't know he had another appointment to go to. And you should have seen us. Everyone was calling this guy up. You guys know who he was. We're just calling him up. He's like, I told you I had to. It's like, because we love him. We love him. And that's the way we are. Now, let me say this. The problem nowadays in churches is either something's going on that messes with other people and you don't deal with it, you just let it go because you have a huge church. Yeah, it'll work its way out. Or when you have a smaller church, something happens where someone's hurting someone else and you don't deal with it because it's a small church and you're afraid to leave. Well, we've kind of pretty much got over that. But I can remember when we actually would say, do we need to warn these people that they're acting unruly? And we would, I can tell you, our pastors and our deacons, we just go, will they take it? Or will they get mad and slam the door on the way out? That's the only problem I see in any churches, is when you bring someone in and you, in love, tell them, hey, look, you can't headbutt the assisting pastor in the foyer. You just can't do that. It's unruly.
And they get mad and leave the church. It's like, no. You just can't do that. And so you tell someone, you know, hey, maybe in love, and they get all upset and they leave. Well, one thing I have understood with all that, it's not personal. They're stepping away from the Word of God, not me. And they're stepping away from the Holy Spirit in their hearts, not me. But our Word tells us that as leaders, we have to warn the unruly. It's a hard thing to do sometimes, guys. And so you need to pray for the leadership of this church. Now, verse 15 continues with, don't be evil. Follow that which is good, both to those within the Christian community and those without in Christendom. Now, here's the thing. Yes, Paul is speaking to the church here. Okay? He's speaking to the church and inside the church. And we should never, you know, repay evil for evil inside the church. It's just something that happens. But I've studied this, and I was presented with, someone asked me about this a couple weeks ago. And you know what? It also means outside the church. Outside the church. What are we going to do? You know, even as Christians, and you know, the whole thing with the South, you know, don't take our religion or our guns and all that. And I agree with all that. Don't get me wrong. However, can we turn the other cheek? Can we? Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? But it's a big deal here. I see it throughout Scripture. Can we turn the other cheek? I have someone who's very, very dear to me. And he went away for a couple years. He was in a program that was very, very, it was tough. He had to dig deep to get through this program. And one thing I've noticed about him now that he's through this program is that, he don't get upset about much anymore. He goes with the flow. I think someone could probably come up and slap him and he'd just say, okay, here's the other cheek. That's unheard of in this guy's life. But that's what God has called us to do. Called us to do with one another, as Christians in the body of Christ, and even outside. Why is that? Outside. Now, we know why in here, right? We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. We shouldn't be fighting amongst each other. But out there, outside the church, here's what happens. People take notice. People know you get treated bad and unjustly. But more than that, it gives God a chance to show himself. I've been mistreated before I become a pastor on jobs, unfairly. And the reason why is because down the road I saw that God wanted me out of that job. He wanted me somewhere else. And there's no way that he could get me out of that job unless I was treated unkindly. And so two things here. It's a witness to the world, and it's also a chance for God to show his faithfulness in your life. So, you know, when you're out there and someone comes up to you and, you know, they start arguing about stuff and they just want to get into it with you, and just treat them kindly. You know? Just keep telling them, I love you. I don't know about all that, but I know you know I love you. Well, I don't know about those politics, but man, I sure love you. Well, I don't know about the president, or I don't know about the Congress, but I do know I love you. That's what we're called to do. They'll walk away going, what a sap. Or, oh, I need some of that, man. That's some good stuff. We need to understand that. It's going to get tough in the latter days. It is latter days. It's going to get tough here. You know, we're going to turn the other cheek, or we're going to just walk, you know, we're going to pour our guns, bear down on them. God says to turn the other cheek, doesn't he? Now, in saying that, I'm not going to get to the crux of my message, so I already have my message done for next week. In saying that, I want you to read through Romans. Because Paul tells us in Romans that when it comes to governments,
When it comes to the police wielding the sword, God uses those people, like the police and like governments, to basically keep good and evil, to keep evil from taking over the whole world. And so if you have the mindset of, oh, you know what, we shouldn't, our government shouldn't retaliate if someone, you know, comes over here and bombs us, or we should. See, the Bible says that's a government thing that God takes care of. And He uses people to do that in the government, in the military. It's done that throughout the whole of Scripture. And by the way, when Jesus comes back next time, He's coming back not as a lamb, but as a lion. But for us, here, right here, and outside in the civilian world, we're supposed to do evil? We're supposed to confront evil? Don't return evil for evil. Return love for evil. That's the only thing that will conquer it. Don't pull your sword out. Well, you know, you can pull this out, but don't pull your gun out, you know, and just, or your, you know, just love on them. Tell them, man. I had a difficult person, about a year ago, and I just kept saying, well, I don't know about all that, but I love you, man. Every time I'd say that, he'd get madder. Finally, I won him over. He called me every name in the book. He even called me fat. Can you believe that? And ugly. I knew he was lying then. But I just loved him over. Loved him over. And so, don't return evil for evil. Follow good, both to those within the Christian community and those with outside the Christian community. And when it comes to the military, that's between you and God and our government. You have to deal with that. And I'm telling you that I don't get upset with a true person that says, hey, my Bible says I can't do this. Or one that says, hey, my Bible says I can do this. I think they're both right. Now, throughout the New Testament, you can find Scripture that tells us God's will for us individually and corporately as well. And here's another one that we find in today's text. What is God's will? Well, as Paul defines it in 16 through 18, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in everything, and rejoicing forevermore. Those three things. It's an attitude of prayer, always. An attitude. And when led, pray for people anywhere, at any time. Now, you have to have the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because when you're speaking to someone, maybe it's a non-believer, you want to pray for them, and they want none of it, don't be following around and Walmart's parking lot trying to pray for him. You might get punched, and then you won't be able to repay evil for evil, right? And so just know, discernment-wise, when to pray, when not to pray. I ask God all the time, should I pray for this person right now? And sometimes He says yes, and sometimes He says no. And He just, you know, we can always pray for him later. God still hears us. But it's an attitude of prayer when you're in your car. Now, I've said this before, when you're at a stoplight, and you're sitting on the stoplight. And I tell you, Aberdeen is really getting like, right? Have you ever seen it? You stop and it's looking like L.A. kind of, you know, different times of the day. And you just, you know, can sit there and you're going, what should do? Well, you ought to be listening to WAOG 100.7, The Shield. But if you're not, or even if you are, you can pray for people there. You have, what, 60 seconds, 2 minutes to pray. Now, I said, let me just show you something about this that we've been talking about. I said that one Sunday, and you know what? A guy got a hold of me that was coming to church here and said, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I'll never tell my daughter to shut her eyes at a stop sign, a stoplight, and pray. I never said shut your eyes. I said just pray. You see, what's wrong with that statement? The Spirit of God. God's got a problem there, doesn't he? Not with me, but with the Word of God. And so pray without ceasing. Have an attitude of prayer all the time. Just walk around all the time in your mind praying, hey, Lord, speaking to the Lord. It's kind of really cool. It's really cool. It's really good. You know, you feel the presence of the Lord, giving thanks and praying at any time, anywhere. Giving thanks is everything. In everything, by the way, is very good. The Bible tells us to do that. That's His will. Even in the gauntlets and crucibles of life. Well, why is that? Again, I've told you before, a few minutes ago, it's a witness to the non-believers. And it's a way to... I myself, when I'm in the ditches, man, when I'm in the ditches, I find myself drawing closer to the Lord than ever before. Now, do I want to be in the ditches? No. And so when I'm out of the ditches and I'm on the plain or I'm on the mountaintop, I remember the ditches. And so what I do is I still praise Him. I still draw close to Him. I still read my Bible. I still get into the Word. But I know those times that we are in the ditches that we're supposed to give Him praise and glory because He is worthy. Finally, it says, rejoice forevermore. Why? Well, we are His kids. We're kids of the King, for goodness sakes. Remember, we have eternity. This isn't our home where we're just passing through. This isn't where we're staying with that song that's on the radio. This is not my home. I love that song. And hint, hint, maybe the team could do it sometime. Hint, hint. But I love that song. It's just, this isn't our home, and our home's somewhere else, and we're just passing through this thing, and let's not take it too importantly when it comes to, you know, stuff, material things. God's Word reminds us of the big picture, the real deal. Heaven's our real home. That's when we start. That's when we begin. Really, this is just a proving ground. We're just here for a short period of time to do God's will. Number one, get saved. Bring someone to the Lord. Number two, sanctification. Number two, what? Whatever God wants to do in your life. He can do as much as you want Him to do or as little. It's your free will. What are you going to do about that? Rejoicing that we are not going to stay here, that we will not stay here. Well, Paul warns us in verse 19, in order to have true spirituality, we must not quench the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? One time I was speaking several years ago, this particular person just started, I'm not sure if it was tongues because it sounded like a rooster, a chicken. And, you know, of course, one of the ushers had to come down and kind of take her out. And she was really beside herself. I don't know what to deal with. And later on, she told the usher that big time we were quenching the Spirit. Well, that's not what Paul means, okay? At all. But he says, don't quench the Spirit. In the original language, it says, don't ignore the Spirit. Don't deny the power of the Spirit. Don't deny the Spirit or diminish the Spirit of its giftings. And yes, that means all the giftings we see there in 1 Corinthians of tongues and prophecies and words of wisdom. Don't dismiss the Spirit like, oh, well, there is no Spirit. Don't dismiss it. Don't disobey the Spirit. It's another one in the original text. Just don't disobey it. Grieving the Spirit. The founder of the Sousa Charismatic Revival in L.A., Sousa Street, I don't know if you guys heard that, but it was a big revival there. It was a charismatic thing. It was wonderful. Just a wonderful movement of God. Let me say that off the bat. Great revival. The founder said this, to grieve the Holy Spirit is to give Him more attention than Jesus and God's Word. And that's when this revival will cease. Did you catch that? Now, this guy was the founder of this this revival, charismatic revival. And he says to grieve the Holy Spirit is to give him more attention in Jesus and God's Word. Do you know why that is? Because in John, the Bible tells us, the Gospel of John, Jesus himself tells us, the Holy Spirit will come to point to who? Him, Jesus Christ. Not to glorify himself. What do we do in some churches? Well, we get in here and we glorify the Holy Spirit the whole time, and then there's a little bit of Jesus going on. Of course, it's important to recognize the Holy Spirit in our life. But I think the main purpose is to, as we spoke yesterday at the men's breakfast, is to have the power to witness to all the world. And then if God, through the Spirit, wants to give some giftings, that's fine with me. It's okay. Don't grieve the Spirit by putting the Spirit of God before Jesus or God's Word. Verse 20, don't despise the teaching of God's Word, whether it be teaching for edification or teaching prophecy. In short, don't despise the teaching of God's Word, period. If we do, then it's usually because I find it calls us to change or conviction falls. That's what God's Word does. That's why I don't want to convict people, because God's Word does for me. The Holy Spirit does it. I don't do any of that. My goodness, folks, it convicts me every morning when I read my Word. But that's what happens. When we start to despise God's Word, it's because it changes. It calls for change. It calls for conviction in our life. We have to be changed people. There's something has to move in our hearts when we read God's Word. And we have the Spirit of God in us. And so because of that, you know, our flesh wars against the Spirit. And we sometimes, not we, but maybe some, despise God's Word. In verse 21 and 22, Paul ends these exhortations, and we'll end today with this. If you want to be used by the Lord, you must, deal with the issue of appearances. I don't mean the way we dress. Of course, that, I don't know. In Fort Lauderdale, there is issues of dress because, I guess, of the weather and such. Appearances. You might even be innocent, but if anything you're doing even appears just a little to be evil, it can and most likely compromise your witness and your usefulness in God's kingdom. Man, do you know that? Why do you think Billy Graham, everywhere he went, he took two or three guys with him? He didn't want any kind of appearance of evil. You can, I've been here before. You can even be doing the right thing, you know? I mean, doing the right thing. But then there's an appearance of evil, and someone might come up to you, a good brother or sister, and say, hey, that kind of looks shady. That just is a little weird. You know, just don't look, but you don't understand. I know, but man, it looks weird. It just looks weird. Several years ago, I got a call from a really neat guy, and I've known him for years, and he was a detective. And he said, hey, I don't know, I really need you. And he used to call and ask me to do different things like this, the police department. Can you put this girl up? We're going to take her back to Peru. Deport. Thank you. Not import. That's what we do for goods, right? Goods and service. Okay. Yeah. We're going to port her right back there, man. And so I said, okay, well, how can I help you? He said, well, look, we need for her to stay somewhere tonight. And we can't take her back to where she at the residence because there's stuff going on. I can't tell you, but can you just put her up in a hotel? I said, sure, no problem. I'll come pick her up. Yeah, thank you. Come pick her up. You know, take her to the hotel. Okay. Well, I went there. Well, this guy does beef for boogie. She's sitting in the lobby. It's kind of late at night. I walk in. I'm expecting this 80-year-old, you know. No. Quite frankly, she was a young, beautiful woman. Didn't know a lick of English. And except hi. I asked her, are you hungry? Hi. It's just like crazy. And I took her to the hotel, booked her in, left. I told some brothers, I don't know if it was But the first thing they said was, man, that was appearance of evil. That could have been really weird. I said, you're right. You're exactly right. And I should have took my wife. I should have took another brother. It was late at night. I don't know, somebody. Who knows? I should have done something different. But you know, even though I did the right thing, it really could have backfired on me, couldn't it? It really could have. And destroyed me. And it was because of the grace of God. Just the grace of God. Between the world, our flesh, and the enemy, they will be used. They go use anything to kill, steal, or destroy your family, our reputation, your reputation. As a witness, as a Christian. So be careful and be cautious with that. Now, as we've looked at these exhortations of Paul, my question is, how do we do them? How do we obtain them? What do we do with this stuff? I mean, look at all this stuff. It says this to pray without ceasing, rejoice always, and all these other things. Repay evil for evil. Don't repay evil. That's tough stuff. It's hard to do, to accomplish. To live by these exhortations. They're hard, even for me. Amen? Do you see this? When you look at this, don't you go, oh, man, that's kind of hard to do. Amen? Yeah. So next week, because I know no one brought their lunch. Especially doing these things. Why do you think he put these things, by the way, I'm almost done. Why do you think he put these things right after he's speaking about the Lord coming back and getting us? That's kind of where I thought, that's kind of weird. No, it means that, man, we need to do these things and be exemplifying these because the Lord is coming back. Because it's going to get tougher to do these things. It's going to be rougher to not to replace evil by evil. It's going to be tougher to rejoice always. It's going to be tougher to pray without ceasing. It's going to be tough. So we need to know. He says, you've got to be doing these things. Test all things. Hold fast. Abstain from every form of evil. Because he's saying the Lord's coming back and we need to really tighten up here, gang, and get with the program. Especially the day of the Lord truly, truly being at our doorstep. And so next week we're going to look at how we can do this. It's a simple teaching. It's just, I started looking and this Philippians verse 3:3 is just like, wow, there it is. It's so simple if we just take a look at this, start stepping in the right direction. So next week we'll look at a study in true spirituality.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.